Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Pastor C in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my big sister and co-host, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
Also with my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, Dr. G?
Doing well.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for allowing us to get on the air. We just had a big old storm come through.
Yes, we did.
Tornadoes and high wind and lots of rain, but through it all,
amen.
God has kept us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said he's a keeper.
Yes,
right. And we thank God for allowing us to be able to get here and to be able to have our Bible study tonight. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this, another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that all of this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are continuing the book of Romans. And when we were studying on last, we were talking about how since we have confessed, believed in our heart and confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and how we have been born again, and how God has given all of us spiritual gifts, and how those gifts are important to the body of Christ, because now that we've been born again, now that we have the Spirit of God on the inside, now that we've been brought back into the right relationship with God, now what God wants us to do is to go and to share the good news with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what happens, what I found, Sheila G and Dr. G, is that we get caught up on this stumbling block of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we get caught up on ourselves. And so what we look at is in Romans, the 14th chapter. And when we look at Romans 14, it talks about judging one another.
Mm. Mm.
That's one of the craziest things that I find in the church,
mm,
that church folk do.
Amen.
And what it is that we look at someone and we look at their faults and we would like to ridicule and criticize their faults, but we forget the fact that we have faults also.
Amen. That's right.
And so in the effort for us to go out and evangelize and tell people about Christ comes to a closed door, because on the way out the door, I'm looking at her shoes, I'm looking at her head, I'm looking at his suit, I'm looking at the way he preached, I'm looking at the way he teach. And people in the church congregation are so super critical, Sheila G, of one another,
amen,
that it gets to a point that people on the outside don't want to come in because they feel like they're going to get judged because
right.
they see us judging
amen.
Each other.
That's amen. Right. That's right. And it's a whole lead by example. If they see you judging people, no one's going to put themselves in the position to be talked about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to be talked about anyway out here in this world, to a place that's supposed to be for sin-sick souls, and they're going to be talking about me as well.
Right.
And that's why we always, that's like one of my biggest pet peeves is mm-hmm. when Christians judge other people.
It's terrible.
Like they were born saved. Mm. Like they were born perfect. Like they had, and so now you're going to look down on me
mm-hmm.
when right. you still have some of your same
still
old thoughts.
Amen.
Exactly.
Dr. G, how can someone who was lost and outside of the fellowship of God, the audacity to turn around and judge somebody else?
We forget, that people forget how far they've come. And, you know, a lot of folks get to a point where they think they're all that and them. Mm. But
mm-hmm.
The Bible teaches that none of us are righteous but one.
That's right. right.
And that we all have sinned and come short of mm. His glory.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thing that even while we're still growing,
right.
we in our mindsets, we think that we have arrived,
mm-hmm.
and we really haven't gotten anywhere. So people come, you know, we sit in judgment, we look down on them, we frown on them, we
right.
turn our little noses
yeah.
up to them,
yeah.
you know, and it irks me because I just don't see how we can do that, you know, when none of us are perfect.
That's right.
And so there's this whole thing of the enemy to distract us
mm-hmm.
from carrying out the work of God, to carrying out the will of God, the work of Christ. And the biggest, one of the biggest ways to do that is for you to focus on me
amen.
And me to focus on you.
All right.
And when I'm focusing on you, you focusing on me, then the work of Christ just gets left on the outside,
that's right.
and nobody's doing it because we can find 101 things
amen.
Wrong with each other
yeah,
in the church.
Right, right.
Come on.
And a lot of times people do that because they know there's something wrong with
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
So if they point out, you know, misery loves company.
Somebody else's
if they point out somebody
right.
else's faults, then they believe that it's making them look better and they're building themselves up.
Right, and then there's this thing where Dr. G was saying, it's like, you get a little bit of knowledge. You know mm-hmm. the books of the Bible.
Amen.
Man, I know Genesis. What's the second book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know what was Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus. I know these two books. And so what it does is puff yourself up.
Amen.
And so people puff themselves up because they learn a little bit.
Just a little
but
bit.
But you know what? The devil knows the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah.
So what is that saying? I would rather have someone that will flip to the table of contents to try
mm-hmm.
to figure out where they need to go and don't
mm-hmm.
and are humble enough to do that
yeah.
than someone that's just going to fake it and like, okay, I know the first two, but I'm going to act like I know the rest. You know,
exactly.
Don't look at this. Whatever way works for you,
there
works
you go.
For you.
There you go. So let's look at Romans 14, and it talks about judging. So if we look at Romans 14, 1, it says, him that is weak in faith receive ye, but not the doubtful dispositions.
Mm.
In other words, it's like, don't judge this fellow
mm-hmm.
or get into an argument with him if he doesn't understand the scriptures totally like you do.
Amen.
Right.
And I'm sure all of us have been in this church where you have these guys stand up and they know everything. And if you ask a question and you don't know, they kind of smirk.
Right.
Well, if you were to study Pastor C, you would have known so-and-so. And why do you keep doing so-and-so?
Someone actually did that. So it was a visiting preacher at our church.
Uh-huh.
And it was taking people a minute to turn to the scripture.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I hear a whole lot of pages that are still turning. So if you guys would get into your Bible, you would know how to get to it immediately.
Ooh.
And this is someone that's preaching the gospel. And it did. Some of our newer members,
uh-huh.
it offended them.
Right.
It
yeah,
offended
so
them. And that's just so arrogant. And that's when we had to tell them, don't worry about it. Don't feel the pressure that when a preacher
right.
gives out the scripture, you got to find it real quick.
Everything.
Go to Tim Cotton's if you have to.
Well,
eventually you'll learn it.
I always is tell them what book is around.
Right.
It's around this
right.
one. It's before
right.
this one. It's around this one.
Right.
If you flip halfway to this way or this way,
right.
you can find it. But
right.
but the thing is that Christians, we shouldn't get into a situation where if someone is not as strong in the word, that we beat them down for their lack of knowledge.
Correct.
And we shouldn't get to a point where if and they're going to give an example about eating meat, eating vegetables. If you don't know the whole doctrine, if there's someone that doesn't know the whole doctrine, don't alienate yourself from them. Don't beat them down. Don't talk about them. Don't make them feel bad.
Right.
But it says receive them just like a brother.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because Christ died for the well-educated as well as the uneducated.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey, and you know what I found out, and I tell people, you don't have to get into any disagreements or arguments with anybody about the word. If someone says something that you don't quite understand or you're not sure of, you know, leave it alone. You don't argue about the word because it does not do any good.
And that's what it says in verse 1, but not disputation. Disputations. In other words, don't go tit for tat. When you get into an argument and you're tit for tat and you're saying, well, you should eat meat. Well, the word says this word. And Paul had to tell him and says, if you love the Lord and you eat meat, you're good.
Amen.
If you love the Lord and you don't eat meat, you're good.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
That's what he's saying.
That's right.
But don't get into, well, Christ died for us so we can eat anything. All he said is blessing and we can eat anything.
When you're doing that, you're making it about you.
Right.
It's not even about Christ. It's about how much you know or me telling you what to do and
exactly.
me being more powerful and more knowledgeable. So like you said earlier, then it's about me, it's about you, and it's not about God.
Not about God. And so what happens is you'll go out into the world and, I'm going to start something tonight. Lord have mercy. Oh, my God. You'll go out into the world and the people that are Christians but not church, And you start jumping on them about eating meat, you know, or eating vegetables because of what you understand, then you turn them off. They'll never come,
that's
you know,
right.
to church or
that's
worship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the same. I'm gonna stir some stuff up now. And that's the same thing with folk that drink.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not even gonna go there tonight.
No.
I'm not gonna even go there tonight. Some people shouldn't drink.
Amen.
The Bible says don't drink, don't get drunk.
Amen.
And so if you just drink a little bit and it tends to make you drunk, then you
don't need to drink. But you got some people that tell you you can't drink nothing nowhere, never, ever, ever, never, ever. But that is in the United States. Suppose you're going to minister in Europe.
Right. That's right.
Well, suppose you're going to minister in France.
That's right.
Suppose you're going to minister in Russia.
That's right.
Suppose you're going to minister in countries where they don't have potable water.
Right.
And they drink the fruit of the vine.
That's right, because it's better for them.
And
then it came out that it's good for your heart. The wine's good for your heart. Oh, no.
I'm stirring some stuff up now. Dr. G, I just stirred it a little bit. Help me out.
Well, see, you know, I agree with you because I've run across that many a time. Folk want to either go one in one direction or the other direction about that whole thing about eating meat, vegetables, and drinking. And you go back to the word. You tell them what the word says.
And leave it alone.
And leave it alone. Now, whether they want to accept it or not, that's on them.
Right. But how are you going to go to Russia
and
tell the brother that's trying to know the Lord, and you come, he invites you into his house, and he sits down, and he's got some Smirnoff or some Tanqueray or something,
right.
And he's drinking and talking to you at dinner, offers you, sets you down at dinner, and you tell him, well, in order for you to get saved, you got to put that Smirnoff down.
Hello.
And you in his house.
Yeah,
come on.
House.
Ministering to him.
About the Lord.
About the Lord.
And you're supposed to be loving and compassionate. It's all about what you use, what is within the world. If you're just drinking it to become drunk and then allowing those evil spirits to come up, that's different.
Right. Everybody can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if you just have like a glass of wine or something and it's all with the intent of just being with someone else or fellowshipping with someone else, that's totally different. It's between you and God, and you can't tell someone else.
Exactly.
Amen.
That's the whole point.
Amen.
That's the relationship they have with
mm-hmm.
God as they know God.
Right.
Amen.
And to judge them would not advance the kingdom of God.
Yeah. That's
and in fact,
again.
God will let folk know when you've had enough.
True.
And to be honest with you, you know, just
you know
like that
things.
Little Lay's potato chips commercial, I bet you
can't
eat
one.
Exactly.
Some folk, but you can't drink this.
You just you need to leave it alone. Leave it alone. And so like I said, and I tell people, what if you go to Paris? In Paris,
mm-hmm.
they drink wine all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Suppose you go to Europe, they drink beer all the time.
Yeah.
How are you going to minister to someone in Europe and they're going to the Oktoberfest?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
Which is part of their culture.
Right.
Their culture.
What are you gonna do? When Jesus was at the wedding feast at Cana,
thank you.
His
yeah.
first miracle was what?
He turned water to wine.
Some people say
grape juice.
My biblical expert, was it grape juice or was
it wine?
Wine. And they ran out. That was the drink. And Jesus made some more.
He made some more.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
But it's true. And then that's when the arrogance comes out. There's nothing worse than an arrogant Christian
mm-hmm.
that's looking down on you because I know the word and I know you. I know your relationship with Christ better than you know.
Right. So if I drink, am I going to hell?
That's what they tell you, I guess.
If I don't drink, am I going to hell?
Well,
I eat vegetables, am I going to hell?
If I don't drink vegetables,
am I going to hell?
Amen.
And my question is who's going to judge the drinker?
Amen.
Who's going to judge the non-drinker?
Amen.
Who's going to judge the vegetable eater? Who's going to judge the non-vegetable
mm.
eater?
And
the meat eater?
Bigger question is, what heaven or hell do you have to send me to?
Amen. Watch out. Let's go back to the word. 14, I told you we were going to say something about it. And Romans 14, verse 2,
mm.
it says, for one believeth that he may eat all things,
right.
another who is weak eateth herbs. So here's your scenario. It's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, one person understands that God says if you bless it, and he showed Peter, he said everything is good. Just pray over it and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no more law against eating meat or eating swine.
Mm-hmm.
He says, bless it.
Amen.
He said, what comes out of a man is
mm-hmm.
defiles him, not what goes
comes
into him that
mm-hmm.
defiles him. And so in verse 3, it says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not.
Mm-hmm.
And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth.
Mm.
For God hath received him. In other words, God, if both of them have confessed with and believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, God has received both of them.
Yes.
Amen.
Regardless
Amen.
Of what they ate.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. But yet here we are fighting.
Yes.
You know you shouldn't be eating nothing but herbs.
Yes.
No, you know you should. We should be able to eat meat.
That's right.
I'm tired of you talking about this one. We've been and back and forth. And here goes 20
out.
People,
mm-hmm.
20 people that need to know about Jesus, and we're in the church arguing
yep.
about
right.
something that God is already taking care of.
And people
right.
are watching that.
And people are watching. And then it makes people uncomfortable. And God is not a God that makes you uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
unless you're doing something you're not supposed to.
Right.
But we're supposed to be leading and drawing others. And we can't do that if we're constantly judging others and not going back to the Word. And it's in the Word.
It's in God's Word.
To be saved has nothing to do with what you eat or don't eat.
Right.
It has to do with what you confess in your mouth and what you believe in your heart.
Right. So Dr. G, why is it that we can get so distracted? I mean, every church, I'm not talking about any church, but I'm talking about
every church,
members get distracted
mm-hmm.
upon just little insignificant
yeah.
things.
Well, you know, that's the tool of the enemy. The enemy comes in, and that's why... What I try to do, even before we get services going, is we pray
yes.
and
yes.
try to get those demon spirits out of there,
mm-hmm.
or at least put them on notice that
mm-hmm.
you're not welcome here.
Right.
Because the people bring all that mess
mm-hmm.
into the church.
Right.
And even before services get going, their minds are not right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They're
mm-hmm.
thinking on everything, doing everything. And you're right, but the enemy gets in, and he uses that,
right.
and he'll put that mess on their minds, so then they become holier than thou.
Wow.
The Reverend Doctor, whoever.
Oh, my goodness.
So, folks, you know, these titles are good, but they don't mean anything.
No.
Because when you're dead, you're not going to take the title with you.
That's right. Right. And people do take those titles. That's why I've had to share with someone before where they were saying, well, we're this, that, and the other part of the church, and then those people are doing, and these aren't, and then this, that, and that. And my question was, well, have you ever reached out to the other person?
Uh-oh.
Have you ever said hello?
Uh-oh.
Have you ever said, why is it that you're sitting over there?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going through something?
Have you gone over there and said what?
Amen.
But let's go back to serving. Who are you?
Mm.
Who are you? The judge. Who are you to judge?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, to his own master he standeth or falleth. And it says, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, God is the one that saves. How are you going to judge that man's family? How are you going to judge that man's the way he's living? Because if they confess God and they trust in God, who are you to tell them, you know, oh, their family is outside of the will of God because
mm-hmm.
they're eating this or they're drinking this?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to say that? You mean to tell me that God can't save them also?
Yes,
right.
He can.
That's right.
That God didn't die for them also?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. And then you have the people that are in these positions that all of a sudden forget where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to help. It's almost like you want to help God out. God doesn't need any help. God knows who to judge, who not to judge.
Amen.
God doesn't need you to work it out for him or tell somebody for him.
Amen. And so, again, I get back to this. When we forget about what God wants us to do, how God wants to use our spiritual gifts,
mm-hmm.
the mission that God wants us to go on, the our purpose that God wants us to do. When we forget that, what happens is we create the term, I guess about 5 years ago, people said a hot mess.
Yes.
Amen.
About 5 years ago, people say it was a hot mess. Not
yes.
only was it a mess,
it was
a hot mess. And we have a group over here fussing about one thing.
Right.
A group over here fussing about one thing.
Right.
A group back there fussing about one thing.
Right.
Folks in the pulpit fussing about
Amen.
One thing.
Right.
And they fussing and they fussing. Is anybody feeling me?
I woke up and I said, Lord, help me, because I'm really not feeling like going to this
yeah.
church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even about you, God. It's not about the word.
Right.
It's like I don't feel like dealing with those people.
A hot mess.
And I'm not going to lie. Yes, I have been there. But God, and I just continue to pray to the Lord and work it out. But suppose I wasn't that strong.
Exactly.
If I were weaker, I would have said, you know what, I'm going to stay home and
later.
Touch the TV.
Later. And a lot of people have said later.
Right. I'll become a bedside Baptist and just watch the TV.
And that is sad because a lot of times there was a term, a military term, called friendly fire.
Amen.
Right.
And what happens in the military, if you're injured by your own arsenal,
right.
it's called friendly fire.
Mm-hmm.
And too many times, because we're judging each other, that
Amen.
Becomes friendly fire.
Right.
Right.
And what happens is you have a congregation full of wounded Christians
right.
because of the friendly fire of judging one another.
Right. Mm.
And so now that we're wounded, we can't carry out our purpose and our God's plan for us because we're wounded. And every time we get a little healed up, somebody come and wound us
again.
So we can't get outside the four walls.
Yeah.
Because we're wounding each other with this friendly fire of judging.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, too often what happens, people within the church, you know, we again, the focus is taken off of what God's will is, and we get so caught up with them titles and doing our own little thing, and we want our own little thing here so we can't associate, we can't fellowship
right,
with
right.
one another. We forget what the mission of God is all about.
Right.
We're supposed to reach out to help other people.
My goodness.
But while we're reaching out, we're sitting there looking down on folks.
Right.
And I'm talking about people in the church.
Wow.
All
right.
this is going in. And when you look at those letters of Paul's, to the churches.
Yeah.
That mess was going on
back then.
Right.
In the church.
Right.
And go back to answer your question as to why that is. It's because people aren't close enough to God.
Right.
And they allow that flesh to come in. And when the flesh comes up, Satan has a party.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and instead of you saying, you know what, this is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
Me looking at this person and saying that to that person,
right,
or criticizing and pointing and pointing.
Self. In yourself.
Is mm-hmm. not of God. This is. I'm allowing the devil to use me.
Right.
Shut my mouth if I have to. If I have to sit in the corner and be quiet, let me sit in the corner and be quiet.
Right.
But we are doing that. It's like that flesh. We're feeding that ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then the ego feels good because I'm making myself appear better than you.
Exactly.
And what happens too? We stop praying. We stop reading the word. We get caught up in our emotions. So
mm-hmm.
we're rolling on emotions right now.
Right.
And then someone's going to have to bring us back around to remind us that we didn't get this far in the beginning on our own,
mm-hmm.
that it had to be of God, that spirit.
Right.
So we got to get refocused again, going back to Romans, be not conformed to this world.
Be transformed
by
the renewal of your mind. And this is the whole purpose of learning the word, praying, and talking with each other, fellowshipping
mm-hmm.
with each other. We should be able to work everything out in our lives in the church by studying the word, praying to God, and communicating with each other.
In a loving manner.
There should be nothing that we can't overcome.
Mm-hmm. If we put it backwards, we communicate first, then study the word,
and
learning of God, and then pray. Well, once you've communicated, then you've already judged someone. You've already hurt someone's feelings. Then it's like, ooh, I messed up, let me go. But
right.
then you forget to read right here where it
right.
says you shouldn't have been judging in the first
mm-hmm.
place.
Exactly. And again, this is something that, like you said, Sheila G., should always be on the forefront of our mind is, you know, am I doing something? Check myself first
right.
before I go and try to minister to someone else. Make sure my stuff is tight before I try to go do something to somebody else. I took the beam out my eye before I try to operate and do surgery on somebody else.
That's right.
And he makes it so plain. Let's look at verse 5, Romans 14:5 says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. In other words, everybody doesn't see things the same way.
Amen.
Right.
But because I don't see it the same way doesn't necessarily
it
mean that
wrong.
I'm wrong.
Amen.
It does not mean it's wrong.
Amen.
Again, God does not need our help. God knows. He knows whether that person is doing wrong or not. God knows what makes that person tick. God knows how to trouble their spirit
right.
so that they'll move in the right direction.
Right.
God doesn't need us little guys to say, you know what, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing it. And until you stop doing that, you can't sing in choir. You can't usher. You can't
right,
do nothing.
Right, right. And there's an old saying, Dr. G says, we can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And keep it moving and keep carrying up the bloodstained banner.
That's right.
Moving forward. Everybody in war is not going to agree with the order.
Nope.
That's right.
You know,
nope.
But because we're moving in the same way, we're going to move on.
Right. Right.
Until something different changes.
Amen.
Right.
But we're not going to sit and shoot each other. and the enemy is like, well, we ain't got to fight, man.
No, let's
put
fight
on the grill. They can't take each other out.
Amen.
And they won't be able to recruit other recruits into the army because they'll be like, oh, I'm not touching that. Those people just talk about each other too much.
Exactly. And so this is what we've come to grips with. And you have to go in the word and you have to say it doesn't make sense for us to be disagreeable on certain things. It doesn't make us any sense to be disagreeable because it's not going to send you to heaven. It's not going to send you to heaven.
Which is the ultimate.
Right. And if you're wrong about it, what happens is, like you said, your fellowship with God will suffer, and
right.
you'll know.
That's
and
right.
And eventually you'll come around and say,
okay.
Nobody else had to tell you.
Amen.
It didn't have to be Dr. G or Sheila G or Pastor C.
Amen.
It didn't have to be. Sooner or later, God will knock on your door and tell
Amen.
You, now you're finally getting it.
Uh-huh.
It didn't come from any of them. They
right.
didn't judge you.
Right.
The Spirit knocked on your door and told you what you should do. But some people are stubborn.
Right.
They're not going to hear it from you,
nope.
me, or God.
They got to fall on their face.
Oh, my goodness. But God's going to judge everyone.
That's
Hold on.
Right.
Let's look at verse 6. It says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth it not the day to the Lord. He does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God. So in other words, if you worship God on Sunday, and Christmas the Sabbath,
come on.
You're worshiping God.
Come
mm-hmm.
on.
If you worship God on Saturday,
come on.
And the seventh day Adventist is called the Sabbath, You're worshiping God.
Right.
Are you going to go to jail because you worship on Saturday?
No.
Are you going to go to jail because you worship on Sunday?
All right.
No. It's about God. It's not about us.
Right.
It's not about a day.
But how many people say, oh, them Christians, they didn't twist it around. They worship on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It should be on Saturday.
Right. It's worship. It's not about the day. It's about God.
And this is the thing. It's like you're doing it under God, and you're giving thanks to God, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday,
that's
Saturday,
right,
or Sunday.
That's right.
You're giving thanks to God. So why should we get into a bicker or batter between the
Saturday worship or the Sunday worship
when folk out there need to know God so they can worship?
Right. Amen. Whether it's Saturday or Sunday.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking
about. It's not about the day. It's about God.
And then they say, well, you're not supposed to eat this because some religions say you're not supposed to eat meat. And then some say you should be all vegetarian. And,
mm-hmm.
But
he says it doesn't matter either way, as long as you're giving thanks to
exactly.
God. It's good.
And I can imagine God sitting there like this, like, what in the world is wrong with them?
Because people get caught up into their various doctrine, and it's not about your doctrine for your religion or my doctrine for my religion. It's ultimately about God.
God's sitting there talking about, oh, my God, there's 10 people out there need to know the word of God. Y'all arguing over a piece of chicken and a piece of corn.
Whether or not you ought to eat it.
Whether you eat it or not on Saturday evening or Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Because you're supposed to be worshiping on Sunday or
Saturday. And that's not what's going to save you.
And these folks look like them folks crazy.
And they need to be
they
saved.
Don't know what day they need to worship. They don't know what to eat. They don't know what to wear. They don't know what to drink.
And they
want me to come be a part of that?
Amen.
No way.
Amen.
Jose.
Amen.
Confusion. And God is not confused. We're confused.
Oh, my gosh.
God is not confused. It is just as plain as day. Roman, if you just confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Then once you're saved, then with your relationship with God, continue to grow.
You see, that whole thing, the key, it's a personal relationship between you and God. And if you're doing something wrong unto the Lord will let you know. And he don't have to let you know through Tom, Dick, and Harry.
That's right.
He can go directly to you.
Oh, he can show you better than he can tell.
Right. And that's why I always tell people, especially even in couples, that a lot of times to keep confusion down, when you want to go and tell somebody and point something out, you pray first.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And if you know God and that person knows God, you can just tell the Lord, you know what, Lord, they're getting ready to hit that wall. I want to tell them they hit
exactly.
that wall, but if I tell them they hit that wall, they're going to run into it.
Exactly.
God will convict them or allow them to hit the wall and figure it out.
Hello.
Without you. And then at that point, then you can step in and say, can you hear me now?
Right. And in verse 7, this is what Dr. G was talking about earlier. It says, for none of us live to himself,
mm-hmm.
and no man dies to himself.
Amen.
So in other words, nobody has it all right.
That's right. But there's some people that think they do.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody has it all right.
Some offices. Some
and we
preachers.
Need each other.
Amen.
We need each other.
Amen.
We need each other. That's
Amen.
A hard thing to say.
Amen.
We need. And you ever seen somebody try to do it all by themselves?
Yes.
Come on.
What happened?
They usually mess up or struggle or have a heart attack, pass out.
Because nobody can do it right but me.
But me.
Burn yourself out.
And have too much pride to ask
for help. And will continue to do
it. It's my way. Mm-hmm. If they don't do it, I'm just going to do it my way. And there's no other way, I'm going to do it my way.
That's right.
It's my way or the highway.
Because it's the only way that's right. Or this one. This is the way we always do
it. Oh, my goodness. Well, you always did it that way?
We always do it this way.
There's no other way to do it.
There's no other way to do it. We've been doing it like this for 20 years.
And
now you're coming in trying to change it. I'm telling you,
when
I first came to New Birth, the women were not allowed to wear pants.
Going to hell.
So I started because there were women that would come on off the street, like in their jeans or something, because they didn't have anything or snacks.
Right.
And then the women would make them feel uncomfortable because they would look at them you have on pants, you have on slacks. So I started wearing pantsuits.
Ooh.
They went to my husband.
Ooh.
Went to my husband.
Ooh.
The first lady's coming in here wearing pants. He pulled out the Bible. He said, show me in the Bible where it says you can't wear pants to church.
Oh, it says modest apparel.
Okay. And the next thing you know, within a year or two, some of those same people wearing pants to church.
It's comfortable.
Uh-huh.
The same people that were looking down on
and judging, exactly,
were wearing pants
and causing
suits.
Those ladies that came in not to want to come back
not
because
to
they
come back.
Still
especially gone. The young ladies, like young ladies would come in and they don't always have like a suit or something
right,
or a dress
right.
to wear. So, but they were presentable, they were clean, and they had nice slacks. So I started wearing my nice pants, and yes, a couple of years later, those some of those same people that were
hello.
Looking down.
Thank you
pants.
For freeing me.
Come on, man.
Thank you for taking the chains off of me. Thank you for opening my eyes.
Amen.
Now I can see.
Amen.
And so when you look at verse 8, he kind of sums it up. And he says in verse 8, Romans 14:8, for whether we live unto the Lord. And we die unto the Lord.
Amen.
Whether we live, therefore, or die, we
are the
Lord.
That's right.
So once you're saved, God knows we have to go through a sanctification process.
Amen.
But we shouldn't look at other people who haven't gotten all the doctrine like we look down on them like they're not saved.
That's right.
You see
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like
yes.
the pastor,
mm-hmm.
you're looking down and
yes.
you're like, oh my gosh, they're not saved.
Yes.
But once you're saved, everybody doesn't grow at the same
right.
rate.
That's right.
So those who have grown a little faster shouldn't look at the ones that are growing slower
right.
and make them feel like they're not saved.
They're not worthy.
Saved. And a lot of times that's what happens. People look down, beat people up,
mm-hmm.
make them feel so bad. They say, well, I can't go there because
mm-hmm.
they're just so uppity,
right.
uppity.
And
I can't
mm-hmm.
reach it. And then you have some of them that do act like that.
Amen.
And then how can they possibly grow? If you want to allow them, it's like you want them to get themselves together and then come in.
Exactly.
And that's backwards.
We're going to try and get some folks on the studio line to see if they have any comment on that. We're going to go to 2122. 2122, are you there?
This is 2122. Happy Thursday, Brother Lee.
Happy Thursday. Good. How are you?
I'm doing just great. You know, I was looking at Romans 12 and verse 16. It states,
mm-hmm.
be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not
hello.
High things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And the thing is
amen.
With that, Pastor, is that this salvation plan is way larger than us. And we
amen.
Are the vessel to extend it out to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And that is a gift that's already been paid for. Only thing
right.
you have
that's
to
right.
do is believe. And the Holy
amen.
Ghost will take care of everything else when it comes to dress, what you eat, and all that. It's not,
exactly.
us, to be, it's not us to be the bully.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that's all I have to say about that.
Amen.
We thank you, Brother Lee. We'll see you on Sunday. Oh, we're going to move on to 7462. You on the air?
Good evening.
7462. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. It's good to be here. What I have to say is the study itself is just so amazing, judging one another. And while we are passing judgment on one because of something they do that we think is not the way I would do it,
mm-hmm.
then... then it calls for self-examination.
Amen.
Because
amen.
In everything that we study in God's word, he is telling us, you know, for one, the word is not for the quick. And that says to me, he wants me to take my time. He wants me
mm-hmm.
to get it line by line, precept
right.
by precept. And it's going to take, he realized that he have a bunch of children over here. It's going to take them a little
mm-hmm.
time over here to get it.
That's right.
And
that's
these children
right.
over
right.
here, they're going to pick it up, you know, as soon as they see it, hear it. As soon as they hear it, they're going to pick it up. But while you running on, forgetting that I'm back here, you know, there goes my strength, you know. And when I'm looking to the hills for where comes my help, you know, I'm still looking for that help because my strength is not where it should be because you who have judged me, it's taking me too long to pick this thing up. I got to go.
And I
that has been an actual incident with me. If you can't keep up, then if you can't keep up, then you know there's the door. You know.
And
that's the way it was put with me. If you can't keep up, there's the door. You know, and I'm saying to God, sitting in the sanctuary, Lord, if you keep letting him say that to me, I'm going to take him up on it, you know. and there it was. And the last time that I heard him say it, you know, that door swings both ways. Well, let me choose the easiest way out. They taught me in school to push. It's easier to push than to pull. In this instance, it was. It gave me just enough space to exit because you were judging, you were judging me, and I knew I was being judged.
Wow.
I just, you know, but I had to take that thing to God, and I had to find out how I was being judged. And it was, you know, and
all right, well, thank you for your testimony.
You.
We're going to move on to
thank
the next person.
For
thank
letting
you.
Me speak. Thank you.
All right, bye. All right, we're going to go to 9016. 9016, you on the air? 9016?
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How you doing?
All right.
All right, we're talking about judging. What do you think about judging folk in the church?
I mean, even though we're not supposed to judge, a lot of us do judge each other. Some people they don't even realize that they're doing it at that point in time. But nobody's supposed to judge anybody because God is going to be the last one in the end that judges everybody.
That's right.
So
That's right.
All right. Well, we thank you for your comment. We're going to move on down to 7558. 7558, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
I just wanted to make a little comment on what the previous caller said, that people in the church sometimes tend to push you out. They tend to push you out, and you come in as a young folk. You look to them for guidance. You know, as a newly convert, you look to them for guidance, but they tend to push you away because you will come in and they'll give you so much negative, you know, instead of trying to give you the positives, they're giving you all the negative scenarios why you should not be here, why you should keep on moving, why you should keep going down the path of destruction that you are on right now. So, you know, that was my little comment on what they were saying before. There are some people that you can't really look to them for, you know, guidance, and they're supposed to be the spiritual leaders that are supposed to be leading God's people to him.
That's right.
So sometimes we get some positions in church, we have to really stop and look into ourselves to see if, you know, am I really ready for this position? Can I really manage it? Am I going to do what I'm called to do? So, yeah.
All right, we thank you for your statement. We're going to move on to the next caller. We're going to go to 9190. 9190, you're on air.
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, good, good. I hope you all are well, too. Judging is one of those natural things that everybody seems to do, but really what you need to do, what everyone needs to do, including myself, is that when those situations happen, we really need to rely on our God, because he won't let us down.
That's
people
right.
will let us down. Man will let us down. But one
Man.
Thing for sure
Man.
Is that at one point when I first came to the church, I was also being judged. But at the same time, you know, when I come to a church, yes,
mm-hmm.
like just like the previous caller was saying, you come to church to get that guidance, and yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you have to seek the word for yourself, because there are going to be
That's
people
right.
in
yeah,
your
sure.
life.
Right.
And whether it be work, whether it be in the street, all around us, we're
mm-hmm.
just, we're influenced by the negative things that are going on around us, and we have to be able to have that relationship with God where when everyone fails, your Lord will not. So whether you're at work
That's
or
right.
at church,
right.
you have to be strong
That's
enough
right.
to say, you know what, you're judging me, and I'm being judged, and because of this and because of that. But at the end of the day, I know who I can rely on, and I know that I can trust my God,
Amen.
And at the end of the day,
Amen.
I feel good. So, you know, it's hard. Life is hard. And this path that we do take is hard. Sometimes we can rely on other people to help us with this journey. Yes, we do need each other. We really do. And there are only a few people that you can rely on and you can trust. And those are the people you
mm-hmm.
seek for guidance. But you can't get the guidance from everyone, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
So it's
Amen.
Keep that relationship with God, and then God will place the right people in your life. Thank you, guys.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You. All right. We got Brother Brandon in the studio audience. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about this judging thing in the church.
I definitely think that judging is something very serious, because you also look at the flip side of it. A lot of times you may mean well, but just how you relay the message may come off. That
okay.
you're judging somebody. And
All
I think
right.
that goes back to what Sister Gregory said in praying, because I know from my personal experience, I've had two messages relayed to me,
mm-hmm.
same message. One gentleman related differently. I felt as he was judging me. Somebody else in hindsight saw what was going on, came to me, changed it up a little bit so that
right.
I could actually understand. And I said, well, you know what? He wasn't judging me. He just related to me in a way where I couldn't relate.
Exactly.
And I felt he was judging me, even though his intention was to help me out. I took it as if he was judging me. So
gotcha.
That's one thing. As Christians, you have to be aware of, recognize your audience, because you may mean well, you may be trying to help somebody out and bring them closer to the Lord. If you don't pray first,
mm-hmm.
your intention may be to help them out, but you could actually push them
more
further
damage.
Away and
exactly.
do more damage.
Exactly.
So a lot of times I think, too, that's why God speaks to people to say, look, I want you to go minister to this young man. This is something you've been to. You can actually relate to this person.
Okay.
And touch them and bring them closer to me, as
gotcha.
Opposed to somebody who may mean well,
gotcha.
Never went through it, come out and start talking, and then you're kind of like, okay, I'm not really receptive or feeling
mm-hmm.
that. This person is judging me. So that's one thing we have to do, is be very cognizant of the fact of how you relay the message, even though your intentions mean well, because people don't
right.
judge you off your intentions. They judge you off of how it comes across,
right.
what comes out of your
exactly.
mouth. Nobody's going to say, oh, well, I know you meant well. I don't know you. You just coming to me telling me something, how you feel, but if you're not relaying it correctly, I could judge you, say you don't mean well, you don't have my best interest, and now I'm judging you, saying, well, this guy doesn't
wow.
really care about me. So you
wow.
also have to look at it that way.
The flip
as well.
Side.
Yeah.
Right.
The flip side of it.
Right.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, brother. Brandon, yeah, this judging thing is really, really critical. And let's hold our finger in Romans and flip over to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. And Paul, in this other letter, before he's explaining what the Lord did with communion. He tells people, because they were judging each other about communion.
Amen.
And it was like crazy.
Well, that's why Paul
man.
Had to write all of these letters. Yeah. But yeah, that's why I say this is nothing new.
Mm-mm.
That's
and,
why he had to write all these letters to all these different churches. He wrote the letters to the churches. He didn't write the letters and just throw them out in the street someplace.
Right, right.
He went to the organized bodies of Christ to say, y'all need to stop this.
Yeah, and he says in 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 28, he says, but let a man examine himself,
mm-hmm.
and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
Yeah.
And in verse 29, he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body, the Lord's body.
That's right.
In other words, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing it for the wrong. They had these feasts and people would come together to eat and to drink, but they weren't coming together to eat and to drink, you know, Yes, they were coming to eat and drink degrees and throw down.
Come on.
And have a party.
And they would just like when we had church functions,
mm-hmm.
they would have a little section where, Amen. Okay, well, we'll put the good food out for these folks and we'll eat before they get here. Yeah, then the leftovers. So by the time they get here, they just got some chicken feet instead of chicken breast.
Amen.
Breasts. They got some chicken feet. And so they was doing that. Y'all know some
uh-huh.
places in
where
they gonna hold
this
food
will.
Back
yes.
for the cooks and for everybody
yes.
else and put out the other stuff.
Yeah.
The Sister Mary fix that, you know, what's been good is Brother So and So. We gonna hold that back. So they were getting together for the wrong thing.
Right.
And they were judging each other that they're not good enough to eat this.
Right.
They're not good enough to partake of this. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to eat this first and leave y'all to left
mm-hmm.
and act like, you know, we don't know what's going on.
Right.
But we're supposed to be Christians
right.
and we're supposed to be observing the same thing.
Come on.
Right.
So Paul said, I need to get them straight. Church
mm-hmm.
folk acting up in the fellowship hall.
Amen.
And so he says, for this cause, he said, now you saying that you eating and remembering the Lord's body and his blood, but you just eating to get down.
Have a party.
And party, and you're not examining yourself to make sure that you're in line with the Lord. And so now he said, many are weak and sickly among you. He said, many of y'all folk dead and sick because you've judged somebody and you're not judging yourself and getting in line with what the word says. You're not getting in line yourself. So now, like you said, Sheila G., the Lord is getting your attention
right.
for doing it the wrong way. And then he says in verse 31, he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Amen.
That's right.
So in other words, if you get yourself straight, then nobody has to worry about
right.
telling you
Come
anything.
And that applies to everybody.
If you blow your own nose, amen, and get the mucus out of your own nose, nobody has to talk to you about you having mucus on your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're judging yourself, then you're taking that time to make yourself so you don't have time to
nope.
be in somebody else's business.
Yeah.
But see, we don't think we're doing anything wrong, so we don't have to judge ourselves.
We don't need to be judged.
And so what he says in verse 32, he says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In other words, God is the one that should give us the instructions,
mm-hmm.
the correction, so that we can get ourselves together.
Mm-hmm.
This judging thing is something else.
Yeah, it is. That's why I told you it's one of my biggest pet peeves. That because you can't judge and talk about someone else and you don't have your own life straight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what God wants you to do. He tells you to pray for your brother. Doesn't he even tell you to pray for those who despise him?
Well, you
should
say all manner of evil about
right.
your boss.
So why would you pray for them and not pray for someone that's in the church that is struggling trying to get to the level where you need to be?
Exactly.
I recently had an experience where someone reacted to me differently. They didn't know at the time that I was, quote-unquote, a pastor's wife.
Right.
Now, this particular woman was like a co-pastor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when she didn't know that, she didn't react to me. It was like just, she barely even said hello.
Yeah.
But when I went up to myself and introduced myself as such and such, then all of a sudden we wanted to be good buddies.
We in the clique now.
And I just think that's ludicrous. That you feel like you're in that type of a position
right.
that you can only have a decent conversation with someone who is quote unquote on your same level.
Exactly.
Which is no, that has nothing to do
but,
with
but, it. But people so easily fall into it. It's crazy
right.
how people fall into it. I you can go to any church anywhere in the world and people are falling into that same trap. And again, the cause of Christ is being missed.
Right.
Because we get into this thing
right.
of how we want to feel and look to each other. And so if we go back to Romans 14, and it says in verse 9, it says, for this end Christ both died and rose and revived, he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So in other words, he's Christ to those who He's Lord to those who died. He's Lord to those who are living. In other words, he's the one that's going to judge. If you look at verse 10, it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand
right.
before the
judgment
seat of Christ.
Christ.
That's right.
So it's like we're wasting so much energy finding fault with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said if you judge yourself, that's where your energy should be. Your energy should be getting yourself right to be better, the best that you can be for Christ, and allow other people to see you, how you are, how you behave, and that will help them to want to live right. Not you chasing behind them, telling them you're doing this wrong and you're doing this wrong.
It's a mindset. It's a mindset mm-hmm. that you have to have that I'm not going to spend all the energy trying to, Lord, they're going to get there when you say they're going
right.
to get there.
Amen.
I need to focus on doing the will of the Lord.
All right.
That's right.
And that's the mindset that the church, God's church, the body of Christ needs to have, because we fall over each other, we hurt each other,
mm-hmm.
we kick each other, we bruise each other, we get on each other's nerves so badly that the church is stinking because
yeah.
we got a stinking mouth.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
It's a hot stinking mouth.
We want everyone to be just and think and walk and be exactly like us. And that's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Well, I'm not going to be where you are, and you're not going to be where I am, because each one of us has our own relationship with Christ.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And because we're at different levels or we're at different places, that doesn't cause for me to go and tell you, well, you need to do this and you shouldn't be doing this, and this person needs to be that. No. Encourage you? Yes.
Yeah.
But again, as Brandon says, encouraging someone different mm-hmm. than judging someone.
Right.
And see, and the devil is sitting by,
cracking up,
just
yes.
sitting there smiling.
I got you now.
He done come in, started a little fire over. He done pulled back because he know what church folk gonna do,
mm-hmm.
and they run with it and take it all hooked up with their emotions. And boyfriend just sitting back there smiling.
Yeah, and he can start something 1 year, and then
Amen.
The church be on fire, sinking
yeah,
a whole year. And he ride around and say, yep, got that one. Let me ride on down here to Potomac Avenue. Got that one. Let me come on over here to Chesapeake Road. Got that one.
Come on.
Let me ease through Kirby Street. Kirby Street,
uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I got them last year. still see the smoke coming.
Amen.
And before we know it, we're like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we?
Right.
Why am I bloody? Why are you bloody?
Amen.
That's right.
What's going on? And this is what happens to every country that goes to war. They realize at a certain point, you killing me, I'm killing you.
Thank you.
We ain't not going anywhere. We need to call it truth.
Come on.
And try to get
and
it
live
together.
With some peace.
Amen. Yeah.
And you live the way you live. You live
because
way
because
live
Lord have mercy. All of us dying. You dying. Your sister dying. Your
mm-hmm.
brother dying.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
for
dying. For what? What somebody said 100 years ago about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat.
That's right.
And it's crazy. But this is the verse I love right here. In verse 11, Paul says, everybody needs to listen closely.
Mm.
Verse 11 says, Romans 14:11, for it is written,
mm.
as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me,
mm.
and every tongue shall confess to God.
Amen.
That's it.
So in other words, he is the one that everybody's going to bow and confess to, whether you eat meat, eat not meat, whether you on Saturday, whether you go on Sunday, whether you're white, whether you're wrong, whether you're saved, whether you're unsaved, everybody's going to answer to God.
That's right. And he doesn't need any help.
And in verse 12, Dr. G, he says, so then every one of us shall
yeah.
give an account of yeah. himself to God.
Yeah.
Old Deacon used to say, every tub got to sit on his bottom.
That's
what
right.
does that mean? That I can't stand for you.
Nope.
You can't stand for me. Mm-hmm. You're going to stand before God.
Amen.
Amen. And
Amen.
He don't want to hear what Kayton said, your pastor said that.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's right. And
he going to say, well, what have you, he's going to read, you going to stand there with your MP3, DVD, CD, and going to push the record on what you did. You're going to be the starring character
Hello.
In the judgment thing.
Come on.
You can't say, well, that person told
no,
me.
No, no, my mother was mean.
Well, he was
Dr. Gregory was mean.
Uh-huh.
Sheila G was
and,
mean.
You know, we tried to tell people. Try to get people now to say, when it comes to God, you can't make excuses. Because when you come to stand before him, he's not going to want to hear your excuses.
Nope.
So you may as well get it right now. And if you're going to do wrong, just say, you know what, my bad, I did wrong. But don't say, my bad, I did wrong because.
Because
no.
of what mama said.
No.
Or what daddy. You
no.
mean, you
no.
mean daddy
no.
and mama
excuses.
Is not going not
no.
gonna to send me to wherever?
No. Lord, you know what, I know I should pray, but I'm tired. Lord, you know I should go to church, but I've been working 5 days a week dealing with these bad behind kids and husband. I just don't feel like going to church.
Right, right. Don't blame it.
Don't blame it. Just you don't make excuses, because when you stand before him,
wow,
he's like, I know you were working. I gave you the job. I gave you the children. I gave you the husband. And
right.
you couldn't come to church for a couple of hours.
Oh, my goodness.
And maybe it wouldn't be as hard as if you would come in and serve and worship.
With
me,
a better attitude.
Get a little bit of Bible study in you, so when those isms and schisms come at you, you can deal with it. But no, you want to handle it on your own.
Wow.
And then you're going to use it as an excuse as to why you won't lean and depend on me.
That is crazy. That is crazy. But that verse 12 says, every one of us is going to give account. Stand at that door. You're going to stand in front of God by yourself and give an account.
Amen.
And the Bible says whether you did good or whether you did evil
Amen.
Or bad.
He's the one.
So we need to stop focusing so much on each other,
right?
Judging each other, judge ourselves, and stand before a righteous God who will judge us and will judge us righteously.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We are time. My goodness, time rolls. But this is good stuff. We need to keep this in the forefront of everyone. Just to realize, you know, we got enough stuff to deal with ourselves and try to deal with everybody else's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sheila G, we're going to close this out in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come thank you once again for allowing us to expound on your word, Lord. We pray, Father, that we will just hide it in our hearts, but let it come through our actions, Lord. We pray, Father, that we've learned about judging each other versus encouraging each other, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would just continue to allow this Bible study to grow so that we can show others the goodness of God. I ask you to bless everyone on the line, everyone that's here at the church. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it tonight. So everyone, have a good night.